Let's turn to Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church, in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. Here we see an example of someone in a position of authority, position of power. And yet, we can see that he was dependent on the opinions of others. He had the power, and yet he was affected by the response of other people. We see that he laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Most likely, he enjoyed doing that. He liked it, a sense of power. But at the same time, we are told that when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. When he arrested Peter, it was not based on what was right, but what would please others. When a number of the Jews were pleased with his action, he proceeded to arrest Peter. When we read this, it's very obvious to us that this is a very negative kind of conduct. But in principle, we may also very often be doing the same thing. We may not be as negative, but there is an underlying principle that we need to take note of. Are our choices, decisions, actions primarily determined by what would please other people or specific groups of people or specific person? Or are our choices determined by what is truly good in the eyes of God? What is truly valuable and meaningful? Let's consider a situation that affects Christians. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here we have a description of disciples who were motivated by love to sell their possessions in order to help those in need. This passage describes people who sought to be helpful with the right motive. They were motivated by love and concern for others. There was sincerity in their giving for the benefit of others. Barnabas is highlighted probably because of the quality of his motive as a person. The apostles called him Barnabas, which translated means son of encouragement. This was a characteristic of his life. He sought to encourage others, to help others. And he owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He gave in order to help, to encourage others. He had the right motive. Then we go on to chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and see the contrast. But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. And a young man arose and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, Yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well. And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Ananias and Sapphira were motivated by a desire to please others or to impress them or to be regarded positively by others. It could be true that within their heart they also wanted to contribute. It could be true they also cared for the people in need. But the desire to please others, the desire to be recognized, to be highly regarded, led to their taking this course of action that led to their physical death. Verse 1 begins with but a certain man. It was in contrast with Barnabas and the others who gave sincerely, honestly, with the right motive. Ananias and his wife gave with the wrong motive. When the apostle Peter said, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? He was not saying that Ananias had no choice. Satan controlled him and he just lied. It's clear from the context that Ananias allowed Satan to work in the situation. He accepted the suggestions from the evil one. It was his responsibility, and he chose to move in that direction. It was a temptation, but he allowed it. The Apostle Peter said, While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? It's clear that they had the say. What they would do with their property, they could choose how they would respond. He then went on to say, Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. You have conceived this deed in your heart shows that he was responsible, even if Satan had brought the idea to him. He conceived it in that he accepted it, he moved in that direction, and he chose to lie to God. The Apostle Peter made it quite clear. It was not essential for him to give. When it was unsold, it remained his own. There was no compulsion for him to sell. Even after it was sold, he could have given less. Was it not under your control? However, they did not want to give less because that would imply that they were not as sacrificial as the others. If they had told the apostle in front of the others, I sold the property for so much, I kept back some, I give this to you, others may comment they are not so willing to give. They did not want to be regarded in that way. That is what likely motivated them to say, This is all. I sold and I gave everything. And husband and wife had agreed that they would project that image, that they had sacrificed all, when in reality they had not. So they wanted to be regarded like Barnabas and the others who gave sincerely. We know that God sees the heart and He knows the motives. Sometimes we may not realize it. We may not be so conscious. Although we know that God is omniscient, yet we may not face the issue. We live our lives thinking God doesn't know, as if God doesn't know. But God sees our heart. He knows our motives, why we do the things that we do. And God manifested it by indicating to Peter the real situation, and through Peter, God executed judgment. This outward form of judgment by God may not always take place immediately. But that does not mean that God does not see. That does not mean that there will be no consequences. The effect on our moral and spiritual being takes place immediately. Although God's judgment on us in other ways may not be immediate, ultimately, there will still be a judgment day when God will judge us. So it's important for us to learn from this, that ultimately, if what we want to do is to please others, we may end up deeply displeasing God. What God sees is our heart, the real meaning within us. If this is not our primary concern, then we can end up in a situation where others may be pleased with us, but God may be very angry with us. People may praise us, but God may judge us. However, we know that in life situations, even the lives of Christians who are serious in their faith, this principle may often be at work. If God were to take the same form of judgment towards all Christians in the way He did towards Ananias and Sapphira, in all likelihood, many, many Christians would have died. But God has not done so, and He wants us to learn from it, to correct ourselves. He gives us the opportunity to repent, to change. How often have we said we have given everything to God, when in reality we have not? How often have we sought to project the image that our lives are truly lived for God, when we know we are holding on many things, not given up to Him? This is different from those who are sincere in seeking to give everything to God. They fail, they falter, but they are prepared to repent, to change, to learn. If we truly want to follow God and to be what He wants us to be, it will be a difficult path. There will be many failures, but God is prepared to help us if we are prepared to face the issue honestly, humbly, with contriteness, so that He can show us how to deal with our lives. So as we think of what is true worth, it's good for us, for the time being, to pause and consider Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let's bear in mind that ultimately, it's not what people say that is important. It's not what impression we give that is important. It's not how others treat us that is important. It is what we are, what we will become, how God would view us, how He would respond to us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Why did Apostle Paul say God is not mocked? That is because there are those who think that God can be mocked. They can get away with it. They can do what is wrong and still get away with it. But the Apostle Paul says, no, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The consequence will take place. It definitely will take place. No matter what other people say or don't say. No matter how other people treat you or do not treat you. The meaning will be there. The outcome of your life is the result of the meaning in your life. What will happen is something that inevitably will take place. It definitely will take place. If we sow to our flesh, we shall from the flesh reap corruption. If we live self-centered lives, if we seek for our own personal gain, we want to have high self-esteem that's not based on true meaning, we will reap corruption. We will be deceived. We will move in the wrong direction. We will seek to please men. And ultimately, our lives will degenerate. The character within us will be negative. The outcome will be disastrous. But the Apostle Paul says, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. True meaning, true value, true quality will come about when we sow to the Spirit. When we live according to what is good before God, when we live according to what is right and meaningful, the outcome will be certain. From the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. No matter what other people say, no matter how they treat us, no matter what they think, if we truly sow to the Spirit, we shall, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. And eternal life is the life of God. God's life given to us to transform us, that we can be like Him, that we can grow in the quality of our being. So as we ponder the subject, what am I worth? It's good for us to reflect on what are the things in life that motivate us, that draw us in the direction of working hard, seeking to achieve, wanting to be. How are we motivated? Ultimately, we have to consider what is truly important to us. The Lord willing, we'll consider further what we should be seeking for, how we can attain to what we ought to be. Today, we have sought to ponder about our perception of ourselves associated with the perception of other people affecting us very deeply, and how we can learn to respond in a wholesome way where ultimately we will find true freedom in our hearts, that we can live lives that are meaningful, with peace in our hearts, with a positive direction that we can be confident of, that ultimately there will be meaning and worth that will last in eternity. Let us then ask Him to help us to evaluate our lives in the light of what He has shown us in the Scriptures, so that we may choose according to what He teaches us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us, that You do want us to be good, that You appreciate us if we move in the direction. We thank You that You care for us in spite of our failures, weaknesses, deficiencies. You want to help us so that we can become worthy children, people whom you'll be pleased with. We thank you that you have gone to such great lengths to teach us and to help us. We pray the Spirit of God will continue to speak to each one of us in our hearts, to help us to be conscious of what is of true value for eternity. That we will not live our lives based on that which will crumble and will have a negative effect on us, but that we live our lives based on that which will have eternal worth, the transformation of our being, our development of deep fellowship with you, to be what we ought to be. We thank you that this is possible because the Lord Jesus helped us when he died on the cross. He suffered on our behalf, that we can be forgiven, that we can receive your life. We pray that you teach us to walk worthy of your calling, that we may not only grow in our own lives, but also contribute positively to the lives of others. We pray that you continue to teach us how to appreciate in deeper ways what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We look to you and we pray that you teach us and that you help us to be what you want us to be. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.